This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
And we're up to segment number three in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's go to the courtroom.
Just as the jury's coming in, can we approach sidebar real quick?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. I can do it here. It's just...
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Ms. Smith, did you still want a sidebar?
I can make the record here real quick. It's my understanding that the defense counsel has been given their own duplicate copy of states 29C and D, which are the iCloud accounts of Lori Vallow. They were also disclosed in discovery in 2021, but they have a copy of the exhibit itself. That's my understanding.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Okay. Thank you, Judge.
You can inquire.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning again.
Morning.
Morning. Now, earlier you talked about reviewing the Lori for Style and the Lowry time accounts and viewing that data set through Cellbrite. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And you've previously recognized States Exhibit 29C and D, which are the Lowry time accounts. If you could look at your screen, Mr. Wood is loading it. It's taken just a minute. We need it. It's hooked up through the projector, the HDMI. Is your screen?
Yeah, it can be published. So it'll be published on the...
Yes, Judge.
Very well.
Okay. All right. Agent Hart, what are we looking at on the projector? It's displaying states 29C and D, but what view is it for the record?
So this is the Cellbrite software. Essentially, what you're seeing here is the Lori for Style at iCloud.com iCloud account. You can see Cellbrite up here. And then on the side where you see all of the different compartments, different types of data that exists in the iCloud, with each of these types of data, cookies, for instance, they will show the number of records that exist in the iCloud. So you have device locations, journeys, locations, emails, MMS messages, notes, and it goes on, SMS messages. I spent a substantial amount of time here, and you get an idea of the volume, over 13,000 text messages, voicemails, images, so on and so forth. So this is what it looks like when you first, this is essentially the opening page of the Lori for Style at iCloud.com, and then Lolly Time would be a mirror of this. It's just simply a different account.
Can we show them the Lolly Time page, please? Okay. And that's pulling from the state's exhibit, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the, you can see it says Lolly Time at iCloud.com, and it has the same compartments as the other iCloud. You'll see that the number of records in Lolly Time is substantially less than Lori for Style, and that's because Lolly Time was created in April of 2019 and then goes through November of 2019. So this particular account is much smaller.
Okay. So Lori for Styles was much longer because it wasn't used for a longer time.
Lori for Style, the earliest record in Lori for Style is December of 2000, so close to 19 years.
Okay. And then Lolly Time, I apologize, it started in what month?
April of 2019.
And it ceased to be used according to what you could find?
Correct. Both accounts ceased to be used in November of 2000, towards the end of November of 2019.
Okay. Now, in analyzing the records in states 29C and D, what process did you follow?
A very methodical one. I would go into each of these compartments, which also exist where it says device content. It'll say phone data, and then it will have all of these records. So Bluetooth devices, call logs, contacts, and as you scroll down, you'll see all of the different compartments. And so my process was to open up one of those compartments and then examine the data that was in there. If there was something that was pertinent or relevant, then I would make a document of that.
In Lori Vallow's iCloud accounts, approximately how many records of data were there?
I don't have an exact count, and that gets to be a little bit difficult. For instance, there's a section for chats. Well, one chat may contain 3,000 messages within that chat, but my best estimate from kind of tallying these is between 130 and 150,000 records.
And if we could just turn to, just so the jury can see one of those, let's look at Lori for Style, the SMS section, if we could.
Can we please identify which exhibit we're looking at?
Yes, absolutely. Is this the Lori for Style States Exhibit 29, I think it's D?
Thank you.
And turning to Lori for Style, in the SMS section, let's look at line 1842. So, Agent, while Mr. Wood helps locate that and display that, is that the process you had to go through for looking? Process he's going through, is that the process you had to go through to look at every one of these texts?
Yes. So in Lori for Style, I applied a date filter starting October 26th of 2018. When I applied that filter, there were approximately 4,500 text messages, and I started at that date and then read every single text message down to the last.
Okay. And that's just the text messages?
Yes. And so I followed that same process for all of the various compartments that you can see that are displayed on this screen.
So
I want to make a clarification here. I think you may be looking at 29C, not D.
Oh, I apologize if I misspoke, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Counsel.
Well, I think we need to be clear if it is 29C or if it is 29D.
If you could, yeah, let's confirm.
This is Lori for Style at iCloud.com.
Okay.
Is that what the court shows?
Yes.
Okay, good. And so turning to line 1842, is that what's displayed up there? Agent,
yes.
Could you show us sort of how you would figure out what that record was and what it revealed?
Certainly. So you can see a timestamp, so it would show the date that this message was sent on March 20th of 2019. Under the parties, it would show the owner, that's Lori Vallow, and it was sent to her brother, Alex Cox. And then under the body, it contains the text message that was sent. In this case, it says, I'm finding out some great stuff about you. I'm going to do some ceilings. Can't wait to share all the things I learned about you. Wow, you're going to like it. It explains a lot.
And so when you looked at those texts, were you also aware of what was happening around in that case to determine whether a text is relevant?
Absolutely. As I was a participant in this case in its totality from essentially day two. And so having that knowledge as the investigation progressed helped me to understand which text messages or other types of communications or records that might exist in the iClouds, whether they were relevant or pertinent to the investigation. If they were, I would make a note of that, and that's how I proceeded as far as my analysis is concerned.
So when you were determining whether a particular, well, let me ask you, was every single text that Lori Vallow sent relevant to the investigation into what happened to J.J. Vallow, Tylee Ryan, and Tammy Daybell?
Not at all.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Well, there were hundreds, thousands of texts between Lori Vallow and friends and associates, between car rental companies, hotels, insurance. There was a lot of communications regarding appointments and medications for JJ and things that Tylee was doing. So there were the normal everyday type of communications that most individuals have, and so those, I examined those, but they certainly really didn't have any bearing on the case.
Okay. So how did you determine what was relevant?
Based on the investigation, the totality of the investigation, what we had uncovered from witness interviews and from the various searches and other efforts that we were engaging in, we had developed a pretty good idea of what may have occurred, and I was looking for communications that were indicative of participation in the disappearance of J.J., Tylee, and Tammy Daybell.
And when you started looking at the records on the iCloud account, was it still actively a search for J.J. and Tylee?
When I began, yes, it was. But I have looked at this over the course of several weeks and months, and certainly reviewed it as the case has gone on. So the initial review started prior to the children being found, and that review continued.
Even after they were recovered but not alive?
Correct.
And any idea how many hours it has taken you to go through all of these records?
Well over 200 hours.
Okay. And so in those excess of 200 hours, and did you also, as you were reviewing it, sort of find investigative leads or concepts that merited following up?
Yes.
What were some of those investigative leads or concepts that merited following up?
First and foremost, it was the relationship between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
Why is that relevant?
Well, it was apparent that they were very quickly after meeting involved in an illicit affair with one another, and that they shared plans to be married and have a life together.
Were there any other investigative leads or concepts that needed follow-up?
Yes, as part of the plans between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, they had obstacles that were in the way of them achieving.
Your Honor, I don't object. This is argumentative.
Sustained.
When you say they had, understand the court's ruling, so you identified leads that followed up. Did you find information or discussion that there were barriers to their efforts to be together?
I'm going to object as to argumentative. The question is argumentative.
Judge, it's an investigative process, and if it had significance to him, the jury is entitled to hear that, especially if it factored into his creation of a summary.
It's overruled.
Thank you, Judge.
There were several communications regarding Tylee and JJ that were relevant to their deaths.
Okay. How so?
They discussed their deaths.
Okay. And what did that have to do with the concept that they had begun an affair or planned a future together?
After the affair began, there then began to be communications regarding the deaths of Charles Vallow, Tammy Daybell, JJ Vallow, and Tylee Ryan.
Okay. Any conversations about Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
Okay. And was there communication that law enforcement had to follow up on that suggested that those individuals were considered barriers to by the defendant to her future with Chad Daybell?
I'm going to object as to argumentative, Judge.
Overruled.
The exact word they used in the communications was obstacles.
Okay. And just to be clear, the communications between who?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
Okay. And they characterized JJ, Tylee, Tammy, Charles as obstacles.
Correct.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm going to object as this misstates the actual evidence.
The evidence will be admitted shortly, Judge. I'm just laying a foundation for summary.
Okay. Well, it's at this point, then, without that being entered into yet, there's no foundation for those comments, so I'll sustain that objection.
Okay. And so in following up and pursuing investigative leads and information within the iCloud accounts and in connection to interviews and other evidence, were there any other investigative leads or information that merited following up?
Yes, there was financial information that was deemed to be relevant. There was information regarding the relationship between Alex Cox, Lori Vallow's brother, and Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell that were relevant.
Okay. And was there, in terms of the financial information, why would that be relevant in analyzing the iCloud account in context of this investigation?
Well, during the course of the investigation, one of the elements that we examined was a potential financial motive for the crimes. And so that was part of our process in being thorough as it relates to looking at all the information that was available to us as we conducted the case.
In the review of the evidence of the case, in particular the information contained in the iCloud accounts, was there information that suggested there was evidence of financial motive for these individuals?
I'm going to object, Your Honor. That's argumentative.
Overruled.
Yes.
What evidence did you find that merited following up as an investigative tool or investigative avenue?
In the iCloud specifically, there was communications and direct references to a large life insurance policy possessed by Charles Vallow, as well as Social Security payments that were attributable to J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan.
You also indicated that there was some investigative information sort of stemming or contributed to from Lori Vallow's iCloud account about a relationship between Alexander Cox, Chad Daybell, and Lori Vallow. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. What information or evidence did you hear that, led to investigative pursuits?
There were a number of communications between Alex Cox and Lori Vallow that were deemed to be pertinent to the investigation, and it was clear that there was a relationship between Alex Cox and Chad Daybell as well.
Okay. And why would those things be relevant to the investigation into what happened to JJ, Tylee, and Tammy?
Those relationships were important because those individuals, throughout the course of the investigation, that's ultimately who was charged with the alleged crimes.
Okay. Now, in using what is up on the screen, the iCloud account for Lori Vallow, for, you know, both Lori for Style and Lolly Time, you had to go through sort of each one of these screens that we saw for about approximately 200 hours. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So did you prepare a summary exhibit for use in explaining the findings and representing certain text to the jury?
I did.
Okay. Otherwise, we have to go line by line through the iCloud.
That's correct.
All right. And so in preparing that, did you pick texts that were representative of investigative concepts or communications by the defendant?
Yes, I chose those pieces of data. So there are text messages, there are multimedia messages, there are videos, there are emails, there are notes, and those things that I deemed to be pertinent, to be directly relevant to this case. I would, in terms of preparing my summary, I would cut and paste directly from the iCloud and put it into a PowerPoint presentation. So that was my method, was to cut and paste exactly what is displayed in the iCloud account into the summary exhibit.
Okay. Can you just use the pointer again and show us what you would cut and paste, just so that we're clear that you literally took from the iCloud and put it into your summary exhibit?
Certainly. So, again, there's a timestamp which shows a date and time, the parties, and then the communication. So I would note the date and the time, the parties, and then I would cut and paste. I didn't cut the specific phone numbers, I just noted the parties, but I would cut and paste in its entirety each message or piece of data.
Okay. So you didn't hand type it, you
No.
cut and paste from the original into your summary?
Correct.
Okay. And that summary was prepared in anticipation of explaining your investigative findings to the jury?
As an aid, yes.
Okay. And that summary was an effort to sort of show the representative ideas and evidence found in the iCloud?
Correct.
Okay. You wanted to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 183 and 183A. A courtesy copy of which has been given defense counsel. Agent, did you get a chance to look at States 183 and 183A?
Yes.
What are they?
This is 183A is a hard copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I prepared for a summary exhibit. 183 is an electronic copy of that with my initials on the thumb drive.
Okay. So you prepared that thumb drive?
Yes.
Okay. And 183A is a physical hard copy for use in court or by the jury?
Correct.
Okay. I move for the admission of State's Exhibit 183 and 183A.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. We stated on the record prior to or outside the presence of the jury what that objection was, and we just stand by that objection.
All right. The court heard argument on an objection earlier this morning outside the presence of the jury. I made a ruling with no new substance to the objection. The court will stand by its prior ruling and allow for the exhibits 183 and 183A to be admitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And you're making sure the court has their courtesy copy of 183A, correct?
Thank you.
I do.
Thank you. I request permission to display State's Exhibit 183A.
You can publish it.
Thank you.
And actually, I think what you're publishing is 183, not A.
I apologize. Yes. Thanks, Judge.
You're welcome.
Agent, if you could look at the screen, I see displayed an initial slide in State's Exhibit 183. What are we seeing here?
This is a line that I located in the contact section of Lori for Style at iCloud.com, and it was saved under the name of Bishop Shumway. It was created on October 28th, 2018. What stands out about this particular contact is that the telephone
objection,
number...
Objection, Your Honor. He's now giving a narrative explanation.
Sustained.
Okay. So what is it that it stands out about the slide we're looking at?
What stands out is that the phone number, 208-690-9374, is the known cellular telephone number for Chad Daybell.
And what was the date this contact is reflected in the cell phone data or the iCloud account of Lori Vallow?
It was created on October 28th, 2018.
And just so that we're clear, that date had significance because why?
Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met at a Preparing a People conference in St. George, Utah. On October 26th, and that conference spanned the 26th, 27th, and 28th of October.
Okay. Is this the first known electronic evidence of contact between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow?
It is.
Okay. So turning to the next, which is labeled the SMS section, Lori for Style at iCloud.com. What are we seeing here?
This is a text string between Lori Vallow and Audrey Baratario that took place on January 23rd of 2019.
Okay. If you could read to us the record into the record what that text string was.
Yes. Line 2585. Hi, Audrey. This is Lori. I would love to talk to you sometime. Text me or call me. I'm excited to be able to talk to you about what we both know. Line 2584. Oh, hi, Lori. Guess you talked to Chad. Ha ha. Line 2580. Did he tell you I have a crazy work schedule? I might be able to talk tonight. I'll have to play it by ear, but it wouldn't until ABT 9:30 p.m. or after. The same for tomorrow. Line 2578. Lori Vallow to Audrey Baratario. He did. That's okay. Just let me know when you are available. No pressure. I just think it's fun to talk to someone who knows what's really going on. Line 2576. Reply from Audrey Baratario to Lori Vallow. So what times usually work for you? I usually talk to him on my lunch breaks in Mondays or Tuesdays. Sunday afternoons, I can talk.
Agent, the question, my question is, this communication by the defendant with Audrey Baratario, what, if any, significance did it have to you?
The significance that it had to me is the reference to what Lori Vallow and Audrey Baratario both knew.
Why is that significant?
It's significant because Chad Daybell had disclosed to Audrey Baratario his plans to marry Lori Vallow.
Okay. And did it also indicate anything about an establishment of a friendship or a relationship between Audrey and Lori?
Yes, Chad had told Audrey Baratario that his wife, Tammy Daybell, was going to die and that he and Lori were to be married, but he wanted Audrey to act as a buffer between he and Lori during the ensuing time period until Tammy Daybell died.
And does it indicate that Audrey Baratario was willing to engage in that friendship with Lori?
Based on the text string, yes.
Okay. Now, turning to an SMS text section in the Lori for Style at iCloud.com from March 20th, 2019, can you explain to us what we're seeing here?
These are some texts that took place on March 20th of 2019 between Lori Vallow and Alex Cox.
Could you read those into the record, please?
Line 1842 from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox. I'm finding out some great stuff about you. I'm going to go do some ceilings. Can't wait to share all the things I learned about you. Wow. You're going to like it. It explains a lot. Line 1840, text from Alex Cox to Lori Vallow. Okay, hurry up, please. Line 1837, reply text from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox. Going to check everything with my source tonight to make sure I got this all right, but it's really good. We can talk about it tomorrow, hopefully.
Now, Agent, why did you include this in your summary?
During the course of the investigation, it became apparent that Chad Daybell acted as a quasi-religious leader and that Alex Cox was involved in the alleged conspiracy as it related to the deaths of the children and Tammy Daybell. And this is an instance where Lori Vallow is communicating to her brother Alex Cox regarding the things that she is learning about him. The reference to going to check with my source tonight, I believe, is a reference to Chad Daybell.
Objection calls for speculation.
That's overruled, but obviously you can go into that on cross.
Very good. Thank you.
Now, looking at this text, you indicated that Chad became a quasi-leader. Was there evidence to suggest why Lori Vallow would be communicating that to Alex Cox rather than just Chad?
There were occasions where Lori Vallow made direct communications regarding religious matters or religious concepts, but it was frequent and repetitive that Alex Cox, Melanie Boudreau, others would solicit Lori to check or inquire with Chad Daybell and then would return answers back to those individuals.
in context of the evidence from the iCloud and the other evidence in totality of the case, was there evidence on Lori Vallow's sort of position power with regard to those people in religious concepts?
Yes.
What was that position power, and what evidence was there of that?
Her position was right next to Chad Daybell. The two of them were in an elevated position, and others would seek their counsel and advice as it related to alleged revelations and visions and so forth.
And in seeking that counsel or information, was there any evidence at times that Alex Cox or others would seek direction or instruction from Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And is that reflected in some of the text in that you've provided in summary?
It is.
Was it is it reflected throughout both iCloud accounts and the overall account of Lori Vallow?
Yes, it is.
Now, turning towards an SMS text from Lori for style at iCloud.com, can you tell us what we're looking at, from line 1763 through 1761?
This is another short text string between Alex Cox and Lori Vallow that took place on March 26th of 2019.
Okay. And could you read those lines into the record, please?
Yes. Line 1763, text from Alex Cox to Lori Vallow. Correct. Charles's body is alive. Line 1762, from Alex Cox to Lori Vallow. What did you learn? Line 1761, from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox. A lot. Still working on it. We'll call you later.
Okay. Why was this series of the SMS included in your summary?
These short texts actually contain a lot of information regarding what was taking place in the investigation.
How so?
Chad Daybell had identified Charles Vallow as somebody who was a dark entity whose body had been possessed by any number of spirits, which were named with various names. And so this first text, when Alex Cox is reaching out to Lori Vallow, he's affirming that Charles Vallow's body, his physical body, is still alive, and inquiring what Lori Vallow had learned about that, which she replied she had learned a lot and would contact him later.
Okay. And so learned a lot. What does still working on it mean in context of the iCloud account and the overall investigation?
We see, or I saw, very frequent usage of that particular term. We are working on things, and that is a direct reference to this belief that they were in a battle against zombies and dark entities. And so when they would talk about working on something, they were making a reference to their efforts related to that.
This is misstating the evidence that's actually been put in.
I think it's beyond the scope of what's been entered, so I'll sustain that.
Okay. When you say they said working on it, was it often Lori Vallow herself saying working on it?
Yes.
Okay. And in your review of the text section in the MMS and the various iCloud accounts reflecting Lori Vallow's statements or state of mind, did you see evidence that her brother believed what she was saying?
Frequently.
Okay. Did you see evidence reflected that would show that Alex Cox was seeking input or direction from his sister with regard to the various potential bad spirits or people's physical body?
Yes. Yes.
Turning to the SMS section of lonelytime@icloud.com, and I see a group of text from July 9th of 2019. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And I noticed that each of these slides have appeared chronological, and forgive me if I didn't ask, in preparing your summary, how did you put the various text into your summary?
I did that chronologically. So during in the summary, you'll see we may move back and forth between LoriForStyle@iCloud.com and LollyTime@iCloud.com. For the most part, it's LoriForStyle in the beginning and the ending of this summary exhibit, and most of the middle of it is taken from LollyTime@iCloud.com. But I placed all of the data chronologically.
Why?
I think that paints the most accurate picture of what was taking place as it relates to the communications. If you separate them out into various sections, then it becomes very fragmented. And I believe that chronologically, these events took place chronologically, so it made sense to arrange the exhibit chronologically.
Okay. And so we're seeing a text communication July 9th, 2019, between Lori Vallow and Melanie Boudreau. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you read those into the record, please?
Yes. Line 3135 from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau. They have an elaborate plan. I'll call you soon. Line 3134 from Melanie Boudreau to Lori Vallow. I could take all the babies with and drive and take our stuff. Line 3133 from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau. You can't go at all. We both need to stay here to defend ourselves. Line 3132 from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau. It's coming to a head. This week will change everything.
Okay. Why did you include that particular series of text from Lori Vallow in your summary?
Yeah, the only way you can answer that is through hearsay evidence.
I'll sustain that objection.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I guess I don't understand the objection.
Your Honor, would the court like me to clarify?
May we approach sidebar? Because I really don't understand.
Well, I'd like to have the question reread, please.
Okay.
All right, upon rehearing the question, I misheard that. I'll overrule that objection.
Thank
Apologies.
You. Thank you. Did you hear the question?
Do I have it repeated? I'm sorry. Okay. The timeline in this case is important. So this text string took place in the evening of July 9th, 2019, which is approximately 36 hours before Charles Vallow was killed. These texts are a reference to events surrounding that.
Okay.
And again, Judge, I'm going to object just for the record that the only way he could have gotten that information was specifically to Melanie Boudreau is through hearsay evidence from Melanie Boudreau.
All right. Well, he's testified it's through information obtained through these iCloud accounts. So for that, and because they've been admitted, I'll overrule the objection.
Thank you.
All right. And so the timing of this communication by Lori Vallow was significant to you in relation to the death of Charles Vallow?
Correct.
And in the text, it was a text from Lori Vallow, in her own words, it's coming to a head, this week will change everything.
Yes.
Okay. And when in context of the investigation and the overall review of the iCloud, what does it's coming to a head mean to you?
It's a reference to the marriage between Charles Vallow and Lori Vallow. Their marriage from the communications and the totality of the investigation had deteriorated substantially.
And I'll object to speculation that she's calling for him to speculate as to what these texts mean.
I'll sustain that.
Okay. And ask to strike that from the record.
All right. The final part of that answer will be stricken from the record based on the objection. The jury's instructed not to please consider that particular response.
Okay. So in your review of the evidence, in your review of the iCloud, did you learn from the defendant's own words that her marriage to Charles Vallow was deteriorated?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, I believe you early talked about that she characterized Charles Vallow as an obstacle. Is that
objection,
correct?
That's argumentative, Judge.
Overruled.
It was actually Chad Daybell who used the phrase obstacles relating in connection with these individuals.
Okay. And so it's coming to a head, that statement from the defendant. Was there evidence within the iCloud that you reviewed, the defendant's own words, that reflected whether or not she wanted Charles Vallow out of her life as her husband?
Yes.
Okay. Let's turn to some additional text from Lonely Time on July 9th, 2019, reflected in the next slide. Could you please look at lines 3120 and 3072? Do you see those?
I do.
Could you read those into the record, please?
Yes. Line 3120 from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox. Getting sleepy, so I'm going to need you to stay close to me the next couple days. Mel, too. She can't go to Utah. They are planking some kind of intervention, but want Mel out of the way so I'm left alone. I need to come get the stuff at your house tomorrow and secure it. Lots to do. Thank you for standing by me. It's all coming to a head this week. I will be like Nephi, I am told, and so will you. Line 3072, text from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau. Al is here. Charles says he will come over in the morning.
That wraps up segment number 3 in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There's much more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.